morning. What I'd like to talk about this morning kind of was pretty well summarized by one of the songs we sang this morning, the 162 in the Red Book, talking about our Savior's love for us and how we need to respond to that and show our love for Him as well. So I've got, I think about five sets of scriptures that I was going to read and then provide some comments on after each one. But to start out, we'll go into First John chapter 4. First John 4, beginning verse 7 through 12, I believe. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. We, as children of God, should be easily identified by the love that we make evident in the character to those, in our character to those around us. Love has a different meaning to a Christian than to those who do not believe. We first believe in God after hearing the gospel and learn a faith that He exists and that His Son died on the cross for each of us. As we begin, as new Christians, our faith may be somewhat based in fear of unknown, fear of God's punishment that if we were not able to obey Him. We may not fully understand why we believe but we are compelled to stay faithful because we want to feel safe from what might happen to us after this life, based on what we know are many mistakes we've made in our lives. As our faith and our Christian life mature, we hopefully come to appreciate the love that God has for us. We see each day in our lives, and that is shown as we study His Word. We become more in tune with it. Our faith in God and the promises we have from Him also mature, and hopefully transform from uncertainty into a confidence in God's love and the promise that we have from Him. We become sure in the love God has for us, and we learn better how to appreciate and return that love that God has for us to those around us. Love should be at the forefront of each of our lives and be evident to those around us and be a blessing to them. Our love of God should be shown in our kindness and patience, selflessness to others, helping to grow their faith and help us all to share in our common hope that comes from God. Hopefully, every decision that we make can be through a filter that thinking about how is God's love being seen in us. Next, I'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 22. In Matthew 22, beginning in verse 34, continue through 40, I believe. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested Him with this question: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And the law, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. I like this passage because it's puts it pretty simple of what we need to do. If we love God completely, everything else that we need to do to please Him should fall into place. That's not to say that all we need to do is believe and say that we believe in loving God and we are done. We are saved forever with nothing more to do. If we truly do love God completely, we will seek His truth. We earnestly seek Him and His truth. We know what God has promised we will find. I'm sure that the Pharisees here professed their love of God in some form. I thought that they were diligent keepers of what His will was. Here though, rather than completing the love of God, they show a selfishness. They tested Jesus, not believing truly that He was the Son of God. I think sometimes we today can find ourselves behaving in a similar manner. When we show others our faith in God, talk to them about our understanding of His truth, do we do so humbly? Do we show them His loving kindness, or do we criticize others, wanting to show that we are on moral high ground? Do we only seek to prove others are wrong so that we can prove that we are right? We should not be trying to tear down those who do not believe as we do, just so that we can show them we are right out of a sense of pride. We should rather help with loving kindness for God's sake, and show them our view of His truth out of sincere concern for each other's souls. In order to show we love God completely, we need to diligently follow that second commandment. We must love our neighbor as ourselves. It seems easier to me to do the first commandment, to love God. You can plainly see what all He has done for us. He created us. He promised us all eternal happiness with Him if we obey His, believe in and obey His. It almost seems like we really should have no other choice. We should be automatic that we love Him. Our neighbors, on the other hand, may seem easier or harder to love based on the person for many reasons. Usually though, it's because of how someone else treats us as a direct contributor to how we treat them. They are rude to us or do things that annoy us. It's hard for us not to respond in a similar manner, to use those same actions in our dealings with them. God tells us the opposite of this. If we claim to love God, while we do not show love to each other, then are liars. I know that there are those who do not love or believe in God because of something that they've gone through in their life, perhaps someone they lost and they can't understand the meaning behind it. They may believe that God has caused the tragedy in their life to occur to them or to one of their loved ones. We may say that a loving God would not allow something so bad to happen. Cases like these, hopefully it's their opportunity to see God's love by the way that we treat them. If we show them that we genuinely love them and let God's Spirit work through our actions, our actions towards them may help them to see that God loves them in a way that they've not been able to see for themselves in the past. So next I'd like to turn to Romans chapter 15. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of that same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may, with one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, of course, is the ultimate example of loving others, putting their needs above his own. He died on the cross to pay our debt, debt that we owed because of our sins that we cannot pay. The sacrifice demonstrated his love for each of us, as well as his love for his Father. He was the one that has the strength bear our weaknesses, because we have no strength in comparison. We are not only to accept his gift of eternal life made available through Jesus' death and resurrection, but we should be continuing to live good, faithful lives according to the example that Jesus set. Jesus said that he came to earth not to be served, but to serve, although he deserves it. But rather, we are to have this same attitude toward each other, serving one another, letting God's love be seen in our lives. We're to bear with each other and each other's weaknesses, build each other up, not tear each other down, edify one another, and by doing so, show our love for each other and our love for God. And letting God's love be seen through each of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. It is, if we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share our comfort. We can be thankful to God. We have one another to draw comfort from. We have the opportunity during hard times, during trials in our lives, to share each other's burdens. Somebody's in physical needs, has a physical need, that we can share in those trials. Someone has a need that we have the means to help meet. And we can help them. We share in their sufferings by giving them what we have. Someone is being persecuted because of Jesus. We can offer them encouraging words and stand by them, help endure their suffering. While enduring trials, we can encourage one another together, reminding each of us of our shared hope and the strength that can only come from God. Take comfort from together that we have a promise of an eternal home with God, a reward that we did not earn despite any amount of persecution we think we have endured, but one that was given to us by our Father because of his love for us. Reward worth much more than any suffering that this life can provide. Finally, I'd like to turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, verses 8 through 12. Let no debt remain outstanding, except that the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And whatever other command there may be are summed up in this one: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of law. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because of our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let's put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Here again we see all the commandments hang on the commandment to love one another. This thought, as well as the instructions that we are not to judge one another, sometimes it's understood by people that they are to live and let live. We should have an unconditional love that respects and accepts one another's views and values no matter what. I agree that we are not to put our own conditions on loving each other, but we are to love, and that we are to love one another despite differences. The commandment to love one another sums up the other commandments, but does not replace them. We love one another and love God, we will do our best to keep his commandments. There are certain sinful activities that we are more susceptible to committing. It is our love for one another, and most importantly, our love for God, that will help us to turn away from those sins. It's our love for one another and our love to God that we need to help us not to be hateful to one who is struggling with sin. If we love God, we will be imitators of his Son, who gave himself completely to help us. He did so even though you, at the time, are consumed in our own sins. Jesus is repulsed by our sins, but that did not prevent him loving us first, serving us, taking our sins so that he could conquer them through his death on the cross and his resurrection. This life is short. So we need to act now. We cannot procrastinate in putting away the sin in our lives and letting God's love fill our lives. Those of us who have children can understand have some understanding of a deep love that is not wholly dependent on someone being perfect in their treatment to us and wanting to forgive their wrongdoings. Much greater than that love, though, is what we have from God. He offers us offered salvation to us through the sacrifice of his Son. If we have not already, we need to each repent of our sins and be baptized so that God's will can be fulfilled in us. So the salvation and hope of eternal life that he wants for everyone can be fulfilled. If we have been Christians for some time, we have not been following the commandment to love as well as we can. We need to resolve to do that today. With that, I'll offer a gospel invitation to anyone has need to come forward to bring those needs in front of the congregation, and we'll do so now as we stand and sing the hymn.